I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Sex ideas.
Did you just say sex ideas?
I was definitely trying to say sketch ideas, but I think I might have said sex ideas.
It's a great idea for a podcast. I wonder if we would have got 300, what, how many is this? 368 episodes out of
71, I think.
371 episodes out of coming up with sex ideas. How many sex ideas would that be? Thousands of sex ideas.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is just take the ideas that we already come up with and add a little sex.
And then you have sex. You go to a restaurant under a bowling alley, over a bowling alley, under a police station.
You get fucked in there. Somebody hooks your dress up.
What do you think of this as an idea? A bowling ball, but all the holes are wet.
Oh. Like it's a squishy. It's like a squishy, like a meatball.
I don't know. I think maybe they just squirt a bit of moisturizer or lubricant into the holes for you.
I like if it's like a meat. It's a giant meatball. And the bowling pins are carrots. That's too silly. But
hang on, I don't think you could use the phrase "too silly" in the context that we're talking about here.
Okay, but like if it was, let's say,
what if they're bread rolls? If they're bread those Italian breadsticks?
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. Yeah, it's like, and then at the end, not many you knock over, it's how many sandwiches you get to make with the big meatball.
Yeah, great. And then take you.
And the guy carves up one of the bowling balls. But they also let you in this. You can get dressed up if you pay an extra $10, right? You can get dressed up in like a plastic bag suit. Like it's basically just like a, it's just a bodysuit, but it's made out of plastic bag material. And they let you slide belly first.
With your mouth wide open.
Yeah, but with your tongue, licking up the meat grease.
Yeah. At the end of the night, whoever's got the highest bowling score.
The winner. Yeah, the winner. Oh, that's a good thing.
Does the chef say that's a spicy meat bowl? Or is the whole venue called maybe the pasta bowl or something like that?
The what?
The salad bowl. The pasta bowl. The bowl. The meat bowl. It's just called meat bowling. It's just called meat bowling. I feel like the word ball and bowl probably have the same origin. It was just some dude with a weird voice who was the splitting point, who sent them down different paths in life to become what they've become today, which is words that are largely still very connected.
Andy, I think that, you know, there is still a place for wet hole bowling.
I think it would make sense that there is some lubricant in the hole so that the ball can slip out of your hand when the time is right.
Water-based or oil-based?
Silicon-based? I'm picturing graphite. I'm picturing nice dusting. A nice dry wetness. That's what you get with graphite.
A dry Riesling.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. You know, when people say, it's hot, but it's a dry heat. It's raining, but it's a dry rain.
Yeah.
It's a new thing I'm going to start saying. I haven't worked out the context yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say it on a sunny day, or a cloudy but rainless, but not raining day.
I guess that would, yeah, I think that's that's the one that makes definitely the most sense so far, is just an overcast day. But it's a dry rain. How long until that guy gets murdered?
That's a great experiment. How long could I do this before I get murdered?
How long can I tell the same joke in a small rural neighborhood?
Yes.
Right? You know, where people will definitely get away with it.
But I mean, the thing is, you're still going to be murdered by someone close to you. It's going to be your beloved, almost certainly, who tires of that first. They're going to bear the brunt. Sure. They're going to be right there at the coal face, listening to that joke day in, day out.
I know, but why would they kill you when they could get the joy of leaving you?
I mean, that's the case with almost every
relationship
domestic murder.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, by the way, speaking of domestic murder, I am doing a comedy festival show this year that has nothing to do with domestic murder, but you know, maybe some of my domestic life will appear within it. The show is called Alistair Trombley Birchall, No Relation, and it's at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival this March and April, March the 30th till April the 23rd. Buy tickets now from, you know, in either in the description or by Googling my name and then the comedy festival.
And I think, did you like that ad? I think I like that a lot, Alistair. When seconds before we started the recording, I said, would you like to plug your show before we start? You said, yes. We counted down from 5 to 1 as we do. We hit go, and then you went straight into the song and into the episode. I liked how quickly you changed your mind there.
Change my mind. I just forgot straight away.
Forgetting is a changing of mind. That'd be a great line in a movie. So this is a movie, right, where somebody's had their brain switched with that of a murderer, of a horrible psychopathic murderer, right?
Like a Freaky Friday kind of situation?
It could be, but I think it's funnier if it's an actual brain transplant, right? Okay. And they somebody walks into, I don't know, their office where they work, right, with a gun or a big machete. A big machete is probably nicer, right? And somebody behind the reception desk says, Tom, I thought you weren't going to come into work today. And the guy with the big machete or whatever says, I changed my mind, right? Like that. Isn't that good?
Yeah, but then that means that he is he about to murder again within this new body after having gone through all that?
No. He's not the murderer. He's got the brain of a murderer in there now. He wasn't a murderer before.
I know, but that's what I mean, right? So, like, did the guy murder?
Well,
so, like, you know, did the guy, the murderer, then, like, first murder, right? Then so that he could get away with it, he then put, you know, he then put his mind into another guy's, an innocent man's body, head, and then put the innocent man in there, who will get arrested, assumedly.
Yes.
Right? And then
he went to the innocent man's workplace for some reason.
Work.
On a day he wasn't even supposed to be working.
Yeah. And then he says, I changed my mind in a very threatening way, suggesting that he was about to murder again.
Yes.
And then have to go through the probably very painful process of then brain transfer
into a new body. This is what happens. So, like, he's on death row, okay?
Yeah.
And but he's going to be hung. He's not going to be electrocuted, right? So his brain might still be functional for a bit after death, right? After the hanging. And he bribes the doctor who does the post-mortem or whatever, to to put his brain before he dies. He bribes the doctor. I don't know why the doctor has the incentive to still go through with it if he's already got the money. But this doctor, his word is his bond, right? And so he's promised this evil murderer that he will transplant his brain into an innocent man's body. And he does so.
Maybe it's his brother.
His
more successful brother.
The doctor is his brother. Yeah, that's really good. Or maybe the murderer had some sort of hypnotic hold over him.
But it is a great way of still getting to murder a lot. If you've got lots of sort of money for major surgery,
yeah,
and you have a willing surgeon who's trying to perfect
the
method of brain transplant, be the sort of the leading figure in it, possibly a brother,
yes,
like that, then you can just keep murdering and then just getting away with it, and then your brother just puts you in a new body. And so then after the first murder, all the other bodies will have had recent sort of like, you know, skull opening kind of surgery. And they'll be like,
the police inspecting the scene. It looks like he had recent skull opening surgery. Do you think that could be connected in some way?
Wait, is that the person? No, wait. So that's not the person who dies, but that is the person who committed the crime.
Well, what they're doing, this is the murderer who, what they're actually doing is they're killing people and then they're having their brother, who's a doctor, put their brain into the body of the person they just murdered, right? So actually, and then they leave the old body behind and they go body to body, brain hopping like that.
Wait. They put their brain into the body of the person who they just murdered?
Yes, that's right. And bring them back to life somehow. But it's a way to remain one step ahead.
Dies. But it's the person that kills dies. So doesn't your plan end after the first one? The
person they killed
dies. No, the person that did the killing is now dead because their brain is in a dead body.
Well, the doctor's also good enough that hey, mate. Maybe that's it. You're just getting your brain put from person to I'm sorry about my dog. You're getting your brain put from person to person, okay? And maybe that's all it is, right? But leaving a trail of dead bodies with no brains in them, right? But your brain is going.
Right. You're not swapping with somebody. Oh yeah, what's up?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But isn't because the brain of the person whose body you just took, you're putting that brain into your old body and letting them take the fall.
Well, okay, you can do that as well, I suppose. I wasn't necessarily
because then they're not chasing any further, you know?
Yeah, but if you're doing that, then there's no body for them to no one's been killed, right? All you're doing is just switching brains everywhere.
Because you're also murdering somebody. So you're going to his work. He's saying, "I changed my mind. I'm assuming you're killing the receptionist."
Yeah, I think you are.
Right? And then you are going and getting a body transfer, then you get that person to go out into the world. The cops catch him, they arrest him. Right? And then you're starting a new life as this other person. And then you kill again.
Maybe. I'm still not completely sold. I'd love for him to just be putting his brain from body to body. Keep going, because his brother just needs to get a certain number of successful trials of this brain transplant thing so that he can get it on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, so that he can get it listed on Medicare.
And then get less money for it?
I think when things are listed on those things, they still get the same amount of money. It's the government that makes up the difference.
But what's the what's in it for the guy if he's not murdering then? The guy who's getting his brain transferred from body to body.
Well, I mean, I feel like in a way he is getting to murder the person whose body he gets into. Like especially if their brain gets pulped or something like that. and not put into the old body. But, you know, so this is where you and I have a philosophical difference, Alistair, and we'll have to go our own separate ways, make different movies.
Possibly,
and see.
But then your bit where you go, I've just changed my mind.
Yeah, well, that's not like going to work.
That doesn't make sense. And I'm basing my whole version of this TV series, which, by the way, is sort of like documentary now, but it's a 6-episode special on different serial killers.
Oh, great. Yeah.
With just really difficult to explain.
I think that's actually a really good idea. Like, people love those serial killer documentaries. I mean, is it still...
So there's this guy, there's the previous victim murderer, the guy who kills his next victim with using the body of the previous victim.
Beats them to death. There's a similarity between these two, but let's not overthink it. I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
The mind of a madman. That's the name of our series.
The mind of a madman the mind of a mad person.
Yeah, good. That's nice. Then women can do it as well.
That's right. Can be a fucking psychotic
and non-binary people. I apologize.
That's right. I mean, gosh. People can do anything now. I was thinking the other day about, because I was, you know, I'm trying to get some more bits together for this comedy festival show. And then I was trying to find, and I couldn't find the script that we wrote for this sketch show based, I think, on an idea that we had on here, right? About somebody who, creating a company that creates these products that are a toilet, but it's for your tears, right? And so you can just go into these public toilets. I couldn't find the script anywhere.
Well, that's because I called it the Ball Boy, B-A-W-L, Ball Boy.
You called it the what?
The Ball Boy, B-A-W-L, like bawling your eyes out. You would have been searching for the wrong terms, the key terms.
But I couldn't even find, you know, the key, like even toilet, urinal.
Really?
Anything like this. Yeah, it wasn't coming up, but... But anyway, and then about, it's probably the only time I think during this that season of writing on the sketch show that I got really emotionally involved. And it's just an interesting view into our life, where it's like, I was like, Andy, there needs to be a regular sit down toilet for somebody to be able to cry into. You know, if you want to have a big cry, you know, sort of a number two cry, obviously, logically, it makes sense that there would be one and that it would be at head height.
Yeah. And I kept saying, yeah, but no, not in this sketch. And
then I was like, oh,
and it got
seems
really
insane.
It got really tense.
And it, you know, if you're going to have urinals, people crying into urinals.
You've got to have somebody crying into a big toilet.
I mean, have you ever been into a public toilet that doesn't have a traditional toilet and it's all urinal?
You kept saying, why are you rejecting the possibility of an extra joke in this sketch?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't remember if I had a reason. But if I did, I stand by it. But if I didn't. Right now, it seems like you're making a very good case, and I wonder if you've actually, now with the benefit of hindsight and with a bit of time, you've been able to finesse your argument, make it sound much more reasonable than
whatever you were saying
at the
time. I've spent the last few months, this is why my comedy festival show is not 100% ready, because I've been working so hard on this freaking speech that I was going to give on episode 371.
I've been relitigating this. With a team of very expensive lawyers, sketch lawyers.
But, but anyway, so if anybody ever wonders if me and Andy have a tense relationship, at times,
it's occurred.
And it can be based on a crying toilet based joke and the different types of ones.
Actually,
that you could have.
After we had that disagreement, Alistair did go and cry into a big toilet.
That's right. And
he had
to prove a sit down cry. That's right. A number two cry is what I call it.
Well, you're calling it that now. You weren't calling it that at the time. If you'd brought up that terminology at the time, I think that would have probably swayed me, Alistair. That's a new addition, calling it a number two cry.
Andy, it's okay. I accept that I was also being unreasonable in that you had said.
Wait, what do you mean also? I didn't say I was unreasonable at any point.
No, I mean, you know, because I think you were also taking this line.
This is very toxic sort of gaslighting.
But I think you're probably taking this line where it's like, well, look, I don't really care, but I don't think it should. It would have this. I don't necessarily like it for this. Anyway, I should have thought of number two correct.
I can't remember, but I do remember that I felt like I had a reasonable position.
Yeah, I know. I think I wanted to find it because I wanted to be able to go back and track the changes as it happened. I thought that maybe that would tell the story.
So this this genuinely has nothing to do with writing your show. Does this have anything to do with writing your show?
I thought that that could be a story, and then
the story
of how the script changes. You know, we've had some tense times, you know, and this is why I think you're just using this new baby thing, this new baby story as just a cover for why we're not doing Comedy Festival together. And that really it's about the cry toilet thing.
The cry toilet event, which occurred a long time after I told you that I wasn't going to do. If it wasn't for the cry toilet thing, I would be doing a show with you within the month after my new son was born.
Yeah.
While working full time. Yes.
That's right, Andy. Well, but you refuse to hear reason, so now we've got to come up with more sketch ideas. So.
I think there could be an anecdote in this about the disagreement.
Well, we'll see. I think it
you could
helps
you could tie it into the time when you you got into a fight with your ex girlfriend by showing her a picture of a caterpillar.
Yeah. That was the biggest fight we ever had. And I think, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it here, but she did, like, it got to the point where she was so angry that she was like, I hate English. I think it's a stupid language.
Oh, wow. You're going after my mother tongue. How dare you?
One of my two mother tongues. The other one is a mère tongue.
Oh, yes, that's right.
A mère langue.
You have two mother tongues. That's very very progressive of you.
Yeah, it's very it's very snake-like to have a forked mother tongue.
I was thinking more along the lines of two mums, you know, two mothers.
Two mums, yeah. No, I know. I think, you know, we can both go different ways. You went political, I went visual.
Visual. You went herpetology. Whenever you see the word herpetology, Alistair, do you always assume it's got something to do with herpes?
I've never seen the word herpetology.
Okay. Well.
What is it?
What if I texted the word to you right now? Then you will have seen it, and then we can move forwards as equals. Okay, hang on.
Okay, let's go.
Here we go. Because I would hate to have some sort of...
I think it's still a very much a master and slave relationship, you know, with you in the position of the educator and me in the position of the lowly sort of student who has to accept your word on what this means. Herpetology. That looks like it's about herpes.
Yeah, maybe studying like the contours of herpes, maybe mapping it or something like that. But it's not. It's the study of snakes and lizards.
So yes. What name would you give that? Serpent and serpent and apostrophe apostrophe and reptology.
There aren't
serpent reptology.
There aren't that many scientific terms that utilize the apostrophe N form of and.
Yeah. I think we should bring it in.
Shouldn't it also have an apostrophe after it as well? Because you're dropping the A and the D.
I mean, that is actually should be entirely adopted by the wider public as correct English. Because it is the most, it is the most efficient way of writing and.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You're just really giving it the meat, aren't you?
We could just drop the apostrophes. I mean,
I think we could drop the apostrophe right now. The letter N by itself at the moment has no other meaning, right? Like, there's a very, like, we talk on this show about how there aren't, we're not using enough single syllable words, right? Mm. There are so many single syllable sounds that haven't been ascribed meanings.
Yeah.
But there are a whole lot of letters. There are a whole lot of single letter words that also haven't been ascribed a meaning. Man. Like t.
Yeah, there's only really A, and then there's I.
Mm.
And then is there any others?
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to think. T-t-r. Toys are us. That's another one. That's another one we could very easily convert.
Yes. Yes. But also, I mean, even after we've done this, there's going to be a few others lying around, like d and p, that we don't have anything. We're not doing anything with them. These are like OG domain names or something, or like Twitter handles or something. I can't believe that this resource is just sitting there. The government should sell them.
It's the same thing with you. Use another one that's just there ripe for the picking. We use you all the time. We could turn B into, you know, being. Like, not being, but, you know, to be. I mean, we're only losing a letter there. It'd be great to get one really big word brought down into a single letter.
See, this is what I'm thinking.
A very common big word. What's the most common, biggest big word?
Yeah. I was just pondering that phrase. What is the most common big word commonly used? Big word. Difference.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an animal. Maybe it's an animal that we deal with. No, I think most of the animals have got quite nice short names, don't they? The common animals. That's good. They got in early as well. Snaffled themselves a single syllable name. Not like the Mexican walking fish. If we domesticated the Mexican walking fish early on, there's no way it would be called that.
The amount of man hours that we would lose just talking about. I mean, imagine if we just ate. I mean, that's got to be the best fishing one to get, right? To go fishing, you just go stand by the water and wait for one to go out, and then you cornered it on the land, right?
Yeah, you outrun it.
Yeah, run it, yeah.
Chasing it on foot.
It would seem almost fucked to use a rod because it would take it so long to crawl itself over to the bait laying in the sand, wet sand.
I wonder if we would have, if we had domesticated the Mexican walking fish, would they be sort of bigger, stronger? Would we have turned them into a beast of burden? Would we be riding them?
I think we definitely have a bit more meat on them. A colony of people who ride, Mexican walking fish.
Yeah, by then they'd be Mexican galloping fish or something like that. You'd hope.
Sure.
You'd hope. You'd want to get above a walk.
Or Mexican quick sliding. Maybe roads would be a little bit more like lined with plastic and covered in.
They'd
in
be
water,
wet.
Like. You know. And when you left every house, there'd be just an elevator to sort of like a 6-level platform with a water slide. And you just get on your Mexican wet fish, whatever it is, walking fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get on the saddle, strap yourself in, hold onto the reins, go down the water slide, and then zoom real fast. You just join all the others.
Man, I'm obsessed with water slides. For a guy who never goes on water slides, I think about them all the time and how all my happiest times have been on water slides and how I wish I lived in a society where water slides were the dominant form of transport.
Yeah. And so you would eventually try to find a way of getting, trying to, like, as a person in this society that we were just talking about, would you be trying to get the Mexican walking fish out of there so that you could just be riding it on your bum bum?
I'd be saying, hey, this time you get on my back.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The little flippers just hanging over the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you think it'd be super gooey over your head like that? But do you think it'd rest its head on your head?
I think it would have to. I mean, I don't think they've got a lot of choices about where they put their head. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of flexibility there.
You know the fun fact that pigs can't look up at the sky?
Yes, I do know that fun fact. Yeah. Well,
that's not true.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. Andy, yeah, there's no such thing as fun facts. Anything that's a fact and then is fun, is a fict.
Yeah, right. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
That's a really fun fact, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. They can just move their eyes up, and also they can move their head a little bit, and also they can just see the sky in the distance.
And they could probably, like, if they were climbing up a hill or something, put their paws also, up on, their hooves up on a log.
That's right. And they can also turn their head to the side and just look up like that.
you think give it a little bit of side eye like that? You think that would do it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if they twist their neck, yeah. Then one eye's pointing up a bit more, probably. Man, they're probably sick of the sky. They see it
so
much.
Sick of it. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. I mean, except they probably never see it suit, like, you know, it never envelops their whole vision with both eyes.
Mm.
I reckon. Unless like somebody picks them up and just points them towards the sky.
Oh, well, they're probably also not able to see it if they're living in a horrific factory farming environment.
Mm.
So there's some truth even within, you know, the least true of fun facts, the most ficty of fun facts. There's a little bit of fact even in the fict of the fun fact.
In the fict of the fact.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
In terms of pigs, I think that it feels like, you know, people do have them as pets.
Yes.
And I think that they do seem like a big improvement on the current types of pets that people generally get. I think they're probably better than dogs.
Yes.
I think they're definitely better than cats. They're definitely better than Mexican walking fish.
Whenever I try and picture a pig pet, I'm always picturing them a filthy. But of course, you just wouldn't have a filthy one. You just wouldn't let it be filthy.
Well, you could let it be filthy as well, but you would clean it before it comes into the house.
Yeah. Great.
You know, so, and I think you want an animal that can outsmart you a little bit.
Yeah. You think the pig is the one?
Definitely. Yeah. Pigs are unbelievably smart. I think, I told you, they have human eyes. If you look into their eyes.
Did you have some sort of bit about a pig peering through a glory hole or something? Did you have that?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to do that. That if you just saw it through a glory hole as a pig was just looking on the other side, that you would be convinced that it's a human.
Yeah. And did you have a bit about what is the glory in that situation? The real glory is realizing, you know, that we're all the same.
We're not that different from the animals.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't have that at the time.
All creatures are. We're all in this together. I don't know.
Oh yeah, but I don't think that though. I think that we're against some creatures.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, what about this Japanese encephalitis? Do you think we're working together in cahoots with that? They've got our best interests at heart? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know if we're necessarily in cahoots.
You're not saying we're in cahoots with all nature?
No, I never would claim that. Cahoots, that's a fun word. We probably are
in cahoots with nature.
I'd love to. I feel like I want to be in cahoots with somebody just so that I can. I mean, I guess if you're in cahoots, you don't refer to yourselves as being in cahoots. That's something that's placed on you from outside. Nobody ever approaches somebody else and says, do you want to get in cahoots? Do you want to cahoot with me?
Yeah, I think you and me are in cahoots.
I think we might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's two cahooting in the think tank. Two cahooters.
Yeah, two cahooters. Couple of cahooters.
Yeah.
That'd be a good name for an American sort of burger joint. You could call it Cahooters, right?
Kabooty?
Cahooters.
Oh, Cahooters, sorry. Yeah. But you don't have sort of women with big breasts wearing tight tops.
No,
what
you don't.
What do you have?
I guess, guys with moustaches that they're twirling.
Yeah.
And they pass you the menu and maybe all of the food in brown paper bags.
Sure. I mean, could there be two waiters at all times serving at every table at the same time?
Because they're in cahoots?
I guess so.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know if it's just cahoots. I don't know if it's necessarily cahoots if you're just doing. I think you've got to be up to something.
I know. It's just because I guess you're implying cahoots and I'm just trying to really show it. You know, I'm not sure that the burger going public are smart enough to be like, yes, the mustache twirling. And also, you know, as time goes on,
I think, you know, I
the,
think
the workers will just slow down with the twirling and they'll not, you know, they'll probably find, you know, cheaper bags to make that'll be clear plastic or whatever.
But I think a themed restaurant where you could go and pretend to be having covert meetings and it's all hush-hush. Lots of things are getting passed under the table and you're hiding your faces behind the menus. And this is the thing. They've designed it in such a way that all the seats are facing the door because, you know, when you're a spy, you've got to sit facing the door, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very impressive, very interesting sort of geometrical shape. They had to work very hard to achieve it.
Yeah. So how does that work? Because it's like all of the booths.
Mm.
Wait, but which way? Is it like, are you side-eyeing? Are you side-eyeing the door? Or is the booth, because not both people can't face the same exit, right?
Well, I get, yeah. I mean, maybe you won't be able to sit facing exactly your person, or maybe the restaurant is a sphere and you're all strapped to the outside of it. The entrance is through an interdimensional portal in the middle of the sphere, and your dining partner is strapped to the opposite side of the sphere. Now, I feel like, you know, something about this arrangement might undermine some of the other spycraft elements of the of the experience. So you've just got to decide what your priorities are. How important is it to you at this place that everybody can face the door? For me, very important.
Yeah, of course. And you won't let go of that very point. And it's key to the sketch. And there can't be any regular toilets in this themed burger joint.
That's right.
It's only urinals. Only urinals. High urinals.
All the menus are in code.
But are the types of code in some way linked to the type of food? Okay, wait, I have to, there's a child waking up, I'll be back.
All right, while you're gone, I'm going to try and think of a code that could be linked to, I mean, I don't know a lot about codes. I'm thinking, what is there? The Enigma code? This is going to be good. The Enigmatic Mac and Cheese. That's one of them. I don't think about that. I overthink these. Okay. I'm something in that that's about lettuce. I haven't worked out what it is yet. I haven't got very far with this coming up with codes that are linked to different foods.
I set a very difficult challenge for you. It's more of a task that you would give ChatGPT, and then you would just be like a bit underwhelmed with the results, and then you go, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Forget that idea.
People, what have you played around with it at all, Alistair?
Yeah, I played around with it a little bit. But I just find it a waste of time a lot of the time.
Yeah. Has it provided anything interesting to you? Or is it all just kind of like, huh, oh yeah.
I think when I tried to write a thing about, I was trying to write a little sketch. I guess this is a complicated idea, but the idea was that it's me who, I guess I'm claiming to be a sea boat captain.
Yes.
I'm taking a call while I'm on stage during my comedy festival show, because I do a bit of sea boat captaining on the side.
Yeah.
And then somebody calls me from, I think, Riverboat Captain magazine.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was trying to write a sketch that was entirely from you only hear my side of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I was trying to have an argument with this person based on which is better, being a sea boat captain or a riverboat captain.
Yeah, sure.
And so I think maybe the only thing that I got that was useful from it was I guess some things that, you know, just like basically a dot point listing kind of features of rivers and features of oceans.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so some of the differences between the two, because it has them arguing when it writes it, but it's not in any way interesting. But occasionally those sentences, I can see how I could turn that into a joke after a little bit of work.
Mm. So it's just raw materials that you're...
Yeah. You know. Like, I mean, I think, look, this is, if I was to open my document here, I think I got rid of most of the chunks of stuff. This is basically what mine boiled down to at this point, and I didn't think it was enough yet. So it goes, on phone, hello, yes, this is he, captain a riverboat, I'm sorry, but I'm married to the sea. And then he would say something, and then I would say, hey, that's my wife you're talking about. And then fresh water, I think you'll find the ocean water is just as old as river water. That's not that great. And then he goes, yes, you can drink seawater. Water and salt, two things the body needs to survive. That's so I didn't really get very far.
Yeah.
But you know, I was trying to get it because I felt like, hey, that's my wife you're talking about, was the thing I was building this whole thing around.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something.
Yeah.
That's my wife.
I think it's because I had a lot more stuff written into this thing.
Yeah.
But then somebody else got access to the document and I felt embarrassed about having all that stuff in there.
It must
Chat
be
GPT looking motherfucking shit.
It must be awkward when you are married to the sea and you go around to, you know, just someone's house and they're just a fan of like dramatic photographs of the ocean and they've got all these photographs of your wife looking all flustered like that.
Yeah. No, of course.
It's
a little bit awkward, but it's actually more awkward for the person who has the photos because I knew who I was marrying.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't going to pretend they were anything else than a real, you know, a lady who doesn't mind being photographed or painted or anything like that, you know?
Mm.
You don't hook up with Naomi Campbell and get upset about people ogling at her. It's one of the features, in fact.
Mm.
Andy, do you ogle?
Do I ogle?
Big ogler?
I mean, isn't it interesting that the website that most of us use on the internet is, if you read it properly, it's called Go Ogle. And what do we do? We type in the names of people we want to go ogle. And then it brings up pictures of them and we go ogle them.
That's right. Type in the C. Right there, and then I go, whoa. I just get into photos of my wife.
Your wet wife. Ogle. Yes. How are we going for sketch ideas, Alistair?
I want you to know that I have a little bit of a bit about Google, and this might make it in.
Go Ogle.
I'm so sorry. Go Ogle. I've started listening to episodes of Two in the Think Tank again, and then I just write down anything that is said that is funny. And you know what, Andy? I don't say that many funny things. Turns out.
Alistair, you know... Hey? That, like, for me, if I say something and you are interested in using it in a bit, that is, I get a very good feeling inside my body.
Well, that's great. I know, but this is a little bit sick, really, and a little bit sad how good I feel.
So,
me writing this show at the moment is really close to that sketch idea we had a long time ago about like a comedy duo, and then the the funny one dies, and it's just the straight man left. Trying to continue a career.
I think if we've established anything, Alistair, is that we're a comedy duo where we're both the straight men, and if we work very, very hard, sometimes we think of something funny.
Yeah. Look, I like that. All right, wait. Let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas. We actually do have 5 ideas. I mean, most of them are business ideas.
But they're good business ideas.
I mean, not 100% good, but I would say, I mean, one is just, yeah, I mean, more, one is more just like a grammar suggestion. So, but anyway, well, let's go in. I think the words often, you know, really stimulate us, and they can sometimes lead to more than one sketch idea.
If there's such a thing as a grammar Nazi, is there such a thing as a grammar French resistance?
Well, I do. I don't know about the grammar. I mean, at the moment, I am doing a bit where there is a grammar Allied Forces.
Oh, wow. There you go.
You've
probably already told me about that, and I'm just repeating it back to you.
No, I mean, maybe. But, you know, I mean, the grammar French resistance, if I knew more about them, I mean, because it does also make sense, you know, like this idea that they would, I mean, how would that work? Like the idea of you're playing with the French resistance, but you're speaking English as well.
Yeah. Already it seems. I mean,
English does seem like its own type of French resistance.
Yeah. I think the ultimate French resistance is being English.
Is being what, evil?
English. No, it doesn't. Oh, yes. Don't think about it. That's not making it in.
So today's words, Andy, come from a listener. You know, people can join the Patreon. They can suggest 3 words from a listener. They often choose themselves as that listener. I wonder if anybody ever submits words from somebody who isn't a listener, but they submit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They go, hey, grandma, can you give me 3 random words? Like, you don't have any living grandparents, right?
No.
Is that right?
No.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No. But I would,
are you negging me?
What is the oldest person we could get? Like, it'd be great to get some really old words from somebody. You know, I think now when people submit 3 words, and please submit some 3 words. We have some right now, but also submit side tank ideas.
Yeah, you know,
because,
sure.
For the book, because we always need more of those. But anyway,
we've been having some fun in the side tank recently. It's good.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun in the side tank. You know, I'd love if when people submit their words, they tell us the age of the person whose words they're submitting. You know, first it gives Andy another guess.
Another clue.
A thing to guess. Because I mean, I could either tell you before or after you guess, you know, you hear the words, you could guess how old that person is. You know, I think that's fun. I think I'm hoping that eventually this will be an all guessing podcast. It's a podcast called Guess, not in brackets, not the genes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, I've been suggesting something like that, haven't I? I pitched you my guestimates.
Guess what's that? What is it called?
Guestimates.
Guestimates.
Yeah, you're doing guesstimates. Right. You're guessing. They're your mates.
And who guess? Who
they're guess, also oh, guests. Oh, it's like, oh, on
like
the
you're
podcast.
Actually making it like a. Actually, as soon as you say guesstimates, it sounds like it's already. I can already see the rules of it. So you're basically guessing a number that's close to. Actually, we might have been involved in a game. Oh, maybe not. Were we involved in the making of a game that was similar to this?
Or, no, but know, Well, I don't think so, but I have pitched it to you. Do you think we were involved in a game?
Remember that board game that we were involved in? Sorry, and we're having just regular conversations. We're not doing the podcast.
I don't remember that.
No. I mean, remember when we wrote that thing for Cut?
Yeah.
For that other board game, but then they had us do another. They trial another board game that involved numbers, and like you had to like get closer to some number or something like that.
Wow, I wonder if I've just regurgitated that idea then.
Probably not. It's not exactly.
Oh no,
that,
you wanted to guess the number of people who guess. Oh man, I don't know.
All right, it's all good. Apologies for bringing this up in what is should be probably an off pod conversation. I'm not editing it out.
I think having an off-pod conversation that is this boring is quite good for the listeners to let them know that we're making some effort on the podcast. I think it brings into stark relief.
That's true.
How the value that they're getting by not having to listen to us in real life. Yes.
My goodness. The experience the listeners get versus the experience my children get of who I am. Oh, man.
I want to be the father to you, child of mine, that I am to our podcast listeners, but I can't.
I want to be a father to you that I am a podcast partner to Andy.
I think recording podcasts for your kids to listen to because you find it difficult to have proper conversations with them. I think that's a funny idea. Just a family podcast.
Today there was like a little meet and greet at the school after like the school. So we went and there was going to be a barbecue and stuff like that. My kid wanted to go to the toilet and I was like, yeah, just go to the toilet. But Otis was like, oh, come in. And it was going to be like a long trip in there. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable going into a big kid's school public toilet. But then Otis was like, well, there's another one that's just a single toilet over here. And so it took me to that and we went in there. And I still didn't feel comfortable because I just felt like people were coming and knocking on the door because they wanted to use it and things like that. And so I'm just like, I'm just getting real anxious in this kid's toilet. And I'm like, we're not having a good time. I told you.
I told you this wouldn't be good.
I just told this was going to be a fun time. Anyway, it was a good time. Good time having that bad time. All right. The listener today is Andriana Genualdi.
I would like to say Adriana. What I say every time. We are genuinely thankful for
for these words.
For your support and for these words.
Thank you. And Andy, would you like to try to guess what the first word is?
Okay, the first word is roofing. Roofing.
Roofing. Ooh, very close. This is big.
The word is big?
Yeah, the word is big.
Okay. Big nose. Big nose?
Big nose. No, Andy, that's a weird choice. The second word is Ben.
Big Ben.
Big Ben.
Big Ben Russell. Big Ben Energy. Big Ben. Big Ben. Okay, so what is it? It's a clock. It's a bell. There's going to be a twist on this that's going to throw the whole thing into a new hilarious light. That's everything's going to change when you hear this third word. Big mm-hmm. Ben lasagna?
Baby.
Big Ben baby. Baby. So yeah, this is a baby that that goes dong every hour.
That goes dong.
What was your joke that you had?
Sounds like a way of saying
big. Big Ben may be big, but it's still the smallest clock I've ever had diarrhea inside of. Was that your joke?
Yeah, that never worked except for one night.
And how'd it go on that one night when it worked?
Actually, the one night might have been the night. Oh no, I don't think it was. Never mind.
I felt like you were very close to having an epiphany there.
Well, I found out that one of our listeners, Braden, had been at one of the weirdest shows I'd ever done of stand up in a very small room at the Forum in Melbourne, where it felt like it was mostly his family, I think, and almost nobody else, maybe two other people. But there was also I felt like they weren't 100% getting me, but they were laughing. But it felt like there was like a 2 second delay on the laugh. If this was actually Braden, I'm not sure. And so I felt like I was like freaking out on stage, and I was going, "What is happening?" But I'm not sure if I'm just misremembering this whole experience.
Yeah, right.
But I remember there was one other comedian in the audience, and I had to keep looking to him going, am I being weird? There's a delay, right? now, what were funny. You talking about, a baby?
That
oh,
was
wait,
a,
when you said a baby
a very
dong
early
every,
prototype
every hour.
Of a Zoom gig, you know?
We were doing a Zoom real life. When you were talking about a baby donging every hour, for me, that sounds like a piss. It just sounds like slang for taking a slash.
Donging.
You know? Donging, because you're just using your dong, you know?
Yeah, I suppose you're flopping out your baby dong.
I mean, that's amazing that donging, I was donging my wife the other day. That's good. Like, that sounds like that's, that should have been, 90s slang.
Yeah, what happened? What happened? The 90s, they missed a trick.
You know, when you hear that, don't you go, like, you're uncovering 90s slang that just didn't get discovered at the time.
I think it would be good, maybe in the future with supercomputers, we'll be able to do like a simulation. We'll be able to simulate the 90s again, but under different circumstances. And it would be great to simulate the 90s where dongan becomes the dominant slang for sexual intercourse.
That's right.
And see if, you know, how things play out, you know, butterfly effect styles. You know, what happens to Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? What happens?
Do you think it would have replaced boink?
I don't think anything could replace boink. Boink is
because, you know,
boink
go,
is fun.
That's right,
boink
I donged her. I did not dong. You know, what was it? I can't remember. That woman,
Big Ben that baby. Woman. I mean, imagine if Big Ben did have a baby, though. Imagine if that big old clock, just one day people went and there was a baby there.
Realized
baby
that
big
it
ben.
Was. Then would it fall out of the bell?
Yeah. I mean, does it emerge from the river? Does it tumble from the top? When I say Big Ben, I'm picturing the whole tower, by the way.
No, you're picturing just, the clock face opens up, the baby squeezes out, and it falls to the ground.
Something like that. Shatters on the earth.
Oh, you're picturing it's a clock rather than a human baby, or part human, part baby.
Yeah, I mean, part human, part baby. That's an interesting idea, Alistair. due to an accident at the lab. Baby is created. He's part human, part baby. He has the strength of a baby, but the
time telling abilities
of a man
of a giant clock.
No, there's no bell clock in his chest. This guy.
He doesn't have a heart. Oh, right. Wait, what is he, man baby?
You said part human, part baby. You weren't listening to yourself, and you accidentally said the phrase part human, part baby. And I was imagining a superhero mutant freak who is part human and part baby.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Like part adult, part baby?
I mean, I think it's funny to say part human, part baby because it implies that babies aren't human. But I think you're right. Yeah. Probably he would have to be part adult, part baby.
Mm.
And yeah, I was imagining, I was trying to work out, would he have the strength of a baby or the strength of a man? Mm. Would he have the legs of a baby? Maybe the arms of a baby is quite funny. Like,
could he have the chubby arms and legs of a baby?
I think that's very good, actually.
He has like a fat fold on his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got the face of a man.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess the torso of a man.
I guess the torso of a man.
Yeah.
And absolutely
ripped abs. But then
do you picture that he propels himself using takes off his nappy by shitting?
Does he? No, I wasn't. But maybe he walks, you know, he sort of toddles. Maybe he has to scoot around the edges of things.
Yeah. And so how does he, and so he is fighting crime.
I think he is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wouldn't help him, but I guess he would have.
I'm trying to think of any advantages that he might have.
He's unpredictable.
Like a baby. He has the advantage. Well,
he's unpredictable because he can't move like an adult.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And I think, but he still has the will of a man. Right? He has the will of a man, but he's got the physical, you know, he's got that thing that where babies can't 100% control their body, but sometimes they're right on.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes they just clock you.
Yeah, he'll miss, right? But also the other people will miss because he's moving so, you know, in a way that doesn't follow any regular
patterns.
Famously,
hard to hit babies.
Well, I mean, you know, you're putting a high-powered supercomputer into the body of a puppy, you know?
I agree. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Okay, wait.
Okay, so man baby.
Man baby. Man baby man?
Man baby man. Yeah, great. I mean, I'm not sure about this idea, but I feel like also you could do this as a cartoon, as a comic.
About what?
Book. As a comic book.
You could do it as a comic book. I think you could do it as a TV series about, you know, about superheroes. So I'm going for full TV series.
I think a prestige gritty one as well. I think you should make really it really gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Fucking so gritty. But his arms are so smooth and so nice to touch. And his head smells so good. Even though he does have an adult head, he still has that baby.
Well, he shampoos. Just, he uses a really nice shampoo.
Oh, well, that's right. That's what he does.
the show is so gritty, but his little baby bottom is so smooth. He has a baby's bottom
as
well.
That's right. He has the ass of a baby.
Yeah.
That's the one other bit. But he has the dick of a man. So sorry. I'm sorry. I don't think it's wrong. It's just close.
Yeah.
His arms aren't young. They just are baby arms.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's problematic in that way.
Yeah, perma baby man. No, perma. I do love a perma perma prefix. But it doesn't work on this one.
Okay, Alistair, you better take us through the sketch ideas before.
Oh, wait. Oh, we're not going to come up with one more? Okay, well, we can do that.
I think we're done. I think that's big bed, baby.
Yeah, we've done long. Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, Andriana.
Thank you, Andriana.
All right, Andy, we got the either the meatball bowling or the wet hole bowling.
Great. I mean, I'd call those two separate ideas. I'd split them. Mm-hmm. I'd split them. I'd call those two separate ideas.
I've split them with a slash.
Sure.
Right? They're not getting their own line.
It's a slashy.
Yeah. We got the brain transfer serial murderer.
Yes.
This is from our series, The Mind of a Mad Person.
Yeah.
But then it's actually about...
I changed my mind. I bet that's already been done. I bet that's already been done. It's something.
Yeah. And it's probably too big of a ripoff from Face Off when he said, I changed my face.
Off.
And then there's the single letter words. That's a great sketch idea. And then we got the Mexican walking fish domesticated and ridden.
Yeah, great.
Right? And then, of course, there's that water slide society that we
dream of.
That we dream of that is within this sketch. And then also you as play yourself in it as a protester trying to change the society, ditch the fish, and of course try to be a society that continues to use water slides, but that you ride on your bum.
Right.
By the way, Andy, this is my one problem with water slides. It's when they put the different parts of the slide together at the joins. I always feel little bits of my skin get pinched a little bit as you go over it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
That's why I'm a big fan of tube water sliding in a big tube.
Why is that, that? How's that different? Surely those have to be joined together. The tubes.
No, you sit in a tube.
Oh, you sit in the tube. Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
But also, I just want them to make the water slides in a factory that's bigger than the water slide, and they do it in one mold.
Right. And then they transport it to its location on an even bigger water slide. It slides down. It's a water slide for slaughter slides. Yep.
The factory location is where the water slide park is.
Wow.
They just literally throw it out the door. And then you just get on the water slide.
You get on one of those fresh water slides, those factory fresh water slides.
Still warm. Still has that new water slide smell.
Oh, Christ.
Would you do... Eddie, what if I told you...
Yes?
You and me were going to do a nude photo shoot. And then when you said, there's no way, I would say, no. It's going to be all done whilst water sliding.
Oh, I mean, that's potentially way worse.
You've got a whole week free at the biggest water slide park. You have run of the place.
Yeah.
But you have to water slide nude, and they're going to take lots and lots of photos of you.
Doesn't feel like a deal that's being made with my best interests at heart. I'm a little suspicious.
But I'll be there too.
Yeah.
No, but Andy, you get to ride all the water slides as much as you want. This is going to be your only chance to get this much water sliding in. And there will only be released one calendar. Like as in...
Oh, okay.
So they'll only pick 12 photos. Ugh. And they want to be able to sell these calendars. So they're going to try to pick nice ones or very funny ones.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah? Would you do it?
I'll do it. I'll do it.
All right. Great. Thank you. I'll call my guy. Then we got the Cahooters, which is the secret meeting themed burger joint.
Great. Have you made a note of Go Ogle?
Yeah, I have made a note of Go Ogle. Yeah. Then we have uncovering undiscovered 90s slang like dongin. These are people who are like paleontologists.
Mm.
But instead of sort of brushing dirt, they're just flipping through. They're flipping through sort of old, you know, like 90s heartthrob magazines.
Yeah.
And they're just, what they're undusting is words that pop in their head, right? Because they're immersing themselves in 90s culture and just seeing whatever pops up.
Wow.
And if whatever pops up isn't relevant in any way to anything that's happened in the last 20 years.
That's what they know.
Right? Okay? Then that's how they know that it's...
I think we should all just start pretending that we used the word dongan in the 90s and start just you know, drop it into the, like, retconning it, like, into our nostalgia. Like all the stuff that was about the greasers in Greece. They didn't actually behave in any way like that in the 50s. That was a later imagining of what life was like in the 50s when, like, yeah, it was really all just created culture. We can do the same thing. Dongan.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it with dongan. We'll make a movie. It's like Grease, but it's called dongan.
Yeah, we were dongan all night.
The word greasers to describe the people in Greece, that word didn't exist in the 50s.
We were just like the hunch front of Notre Dame. We were dongan. At two.
Man, people, I hope people tuned out a while ago. I hope they stopped listening.
I'm so sorry. And then we have Man, Baby, Man, Superhero.
Man, Baby, Man.
All right.
Well, look at that there. Think, what is it? Is it a baby? Is it a man?
Do you think this is the episode where we lose all of our listeners?
I hope so.
Imagine if they all, we walk the room, but it's like we walk the Acast. Anyway, thanks to everybody for listening. We're going to go into the song now.
Thank you so much for listening to In Think Tank. Buy tickets to Alistair's show, Alistair Tremblay Birchall, No Relation, at the Comedy Festival.
Sure.
You never know. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be incredible.
You might even hear something from the podcast come.
You might
up.
Even hear podcast, old podcast royalty. Alistair Tremblay Birchall doing Andy Matthews bits of things that he doesn't remember he said on the podcast. Andy's going to be involved in this show whether he wants to or not.
Okay. And thank you. We love you.
Love you. You.
Bye.
Bye.
I do love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.